AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Our next guest has been named one of the funniest lesbians in America by Curve Magazine, won the Advocate Magazine's national search for the next funny queer comedian. She is going to be performing over at the Laugh Camp Comedy Club tomorrow and on Saturday. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Saturday at 7 p.m. Maggie Ferris is kind enough to take some time to talk about comedy and do these shows. Hi, Maggie. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Congratulations on the shows here. And you've been performing here locally for many, many years.
Many, many, many years. I started in 99.
Now I'm feeling old. Well, now I was born in 68. So I mean, but you still, man, it's feeling old. Where are you from originally?
I'm from the Twin Cities.
Oh, which suburb?
Well, you know what? I started in Minneapolis, and then when I was 11, moved to St. Paul.
You are both sides.
Yeah, I'm a city kid, and I can't pick a side. I got both feet on each side of the river.
Well, that's the nice thing about the Twin Cities is generally most people here don't really. They're like, even the most diehard Minneapolis person, a diehard St. Paul person, they go to the other side and say, oh, this is nice. Yeah, this is okay.
Yeah. I know so many that still won't even cross the river. They're like, oh, I'm not going to Minneapolis. Oh, I'm not going to St. Paul.
And then they get dragged over there for like a wild game. And it's like, it's okay over here.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Come
on. It's not bad. It's pretty much the same.
Get over yourself, for goodness sakes. The show is coming up here at the Laugh Camp Comedy Club. It's nice. Once again, I want to make sure I mention this. And I'll put the link out for everyone here. It's going to be 8 p.m. Friday, 7 p.m. on Saturday. Talk a little bit about your show, because I want to talk about this. And also, you got a podcast out there that you do as well. So you obviously, you can't be doing as much stuff as you're doing without coming up with a lot of new material consistently.
I always am writing new stuff. There's some comics out there that just write an hour and they do that same hour forever and ever and ever. But I have 3 full-length comedy albums out and I'm working on a fourth. And so
wow.
I'd say another 5-6 months I'll have that one done. And I just like to write jokes. I love coming up with jokes and tags for jokes and making the joke better and better and better and better until it's beautiful and nice and polished and fun. And then we put it out on an album and we start writing new stuff.
Bless you for doing comedy albums, because as a kid who did grow up in the 70s, comedy albums are so important. And frankly, I've got a ton of them myself. It is, I always find it's so nice. And I get it with the modern day and that when the cable television started and stuff, they started doing clips and clips. But it's so much nicer that if I'm like on a road trip or doing something like this, I can put in a comedy album and get the entire show. I always love that.
Yeah, I do too. And I love kind of weaving it into like one long narrative. You know, like you have all these tiny chunks that you get to put together in one long story. And for me, that's really fun. It's hard to do, you know, to make it all fit, to make it all work, because I never write with that narrative in mind. I just write what's funny and what I think is interesting and going on right now, you know?
You have been doing this long enough to where, you know, we started, and when we started this, and when you're talking about, you know, LGBTQ comedians, LGBTQ singers, LGBTQ, performers, that the idea was, it probably started off as comedy for the LGBTQ population. But now we, at least in the last few years, it seems we're finally getting over that hump and it's becoming much more about, it's just a great comedian who just happens to have a different perspective. And I mean, are you seeing that? Because it does seem like that's what's happening in not only comedy, but music and stuff, is that it's no longer a separate subsect. It's just basically part of the original plan now.
Yeah, and definitely, like, I feel like it's more accepting of diversity than it has ever been before. I mean, when I started, it was just a white man's game, you know, a straight white man's game. And you would try to get booked somewhere and they'd be like, well, we already had a woman this year, you know, things like that. And so there's a lot of comics out there that would just say, I'm a gay comedian, you know, I play gay cruises and gay rooms and stuff like that. But for me, I want to just be a comedian who happens to be gay, because I really love the challenge of trying to make everyone laugh and everyone enjoy the show. I think everyone works really hard all week and they want to come out and relax and enjoy. And so So there's not a lot of pressure about gay stuff. And, you know, I'll try to educate a tiny nugget here and there, but it's going to be funny and you're going to have a good time hearing it and you're not even going to know. So
it's got to be pretty good to walk in, if you're gay, to walk into a room full of people who are heterosexual and be able to get laughs out of that, because it shows you that the comedy is elevated. It's not something that's unique and that the audience understands and gets it. I got to believe that, you know, putting it from an individual perspective and still being able to relate, I that's got to be just gold.
Yeah, and it's a challenge that I love, you know. I absolutely love that. And it's so funny because sometimes I will play specifically like a gay show or something like that, and sometimes it's harder, you know, because my writing isn't geared towards that, you know. I mean, I throw lots of stuff in there, but sometimes they are more sensitive, and it's a very different crowd. So it's a challenge both ways, but I enjoy just being a comedian, you know, and I happen to be gay too. So
have you ever been stuck at, like, I mean, I'm trying to think of like the most white heterosexual situation you can be in, which I think a lot of times is going to be in denial, but like a tractor convention in Fargo. Have you ever had a really show?
I feel like the whitest heterosexual show I ever did was in Chicago, it was Zany's downtown, and it was all frat boys, and they just wanted to hear, you know, like, yeah, straight white men jokes, and they didn't have time for me, but I just stood up there, did my time, took my check, and went home. You know what I mean?
Beautiful. Yeah. But that's comedy. Sometimes you get great crowds. I've talked to a lot of comedians who will go out some small towns, do a small event, and it's an amazing crowd. But then you do Chicago, and it's like, oh, good. Delta Chi is here. Great.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. That was the entire audience. I was like, what? There's no women. There's no minorities. Nothing. It's just all young white dudes.
We are in a political environment where you have people fighting out there on pronouns and stuff like this. Let's talk about this. How do you approach this with your audiences?
Well, when I even start out, I think my first joke is, hi, I'm Maggie Ferris. My pronouns are she, her, but my adjectives are adorable and sturdy. Like, I think we should use more parts of speech, you know? And then I'll say, my wife said, you are sturdy. And I say, oh, I'm probably gay. And I say, probably, because I went to the doctor last week and he had the cutest butt I've ever seen. And so now I'm questioning everything. Mm-hmm. and then I say, you know what? My adverbs are nappy and snacky. It's just a vicious cycle in my house. I go home, I have a snack, I got to take a little snooze. I wake up, I say, time for yum yum. Just go over and over and over and over again.
It would be a much better world if we did have a little bit, we did flush this out a little bit more for most of us.
Yeah, it's just fun and silly, you know?
You not only are doing stand-up comedy, but you've delved into the podcast world, and congratulations on being one of the few people that actually figured it out, because you have got one of the top 100 comedy podcasts on Apple. Your fellow comedian, Julie Bain, Big Labia Energy is the name of the podcast, correct?
Yes, that is correct. So we just started this year. We're just halfway through the first season, but it's kind of taken off, and it's been really fun.
Talk about the development of that. What was the way you approached it?
Well, I really wanted to do something with her, and I mean, we work together a ton, and we write together. I did a sketch series called can I say DYKE? It's a do-it-yourself sketch series, but the first word is that. And then we wrote that together, and she's just an amazing writer and very funny. And I was like, how do we harness this and get laughs? So we poke a lot of fun at each other. We talk a lot of issues, and we have a good time. And so it's kind of taking off, and it's just been really fun. And I can't wait to just keep going and going and going with it.
No, it is nice, because I think you can do with a podcast, and it doesn't, you know, from whatever the background of any individual is, you know, a comedian or an actor or this. But if you have relatable stories, that's what elevates it. I mean, that's what, you know, I don't care who I'm listening to. If they have something about, say, like a, you know, DoorDash or, you know, current political issues that I can relate to, it makes it endearing. And like I said, it kind of breaks down barriers far more than creating them by just having people, the relatability of all this.
For sure. And I feel like when you're listening to a podcast, you're kind of listening to an intimate conversation between friends. And it's just that talk and that witty banter back and forth, it just is engaging, you know, and fun to listen to.
Absolutely. Going back to the albums that
you'll be at Laugh Camp too, just by the way.
Oh, is she going to be doing the show
for me?
Oh, she opened
yeah.
up for you? Okay, so that's the opening act is Julie Bain, and of course Maggie's going to be there as well. Maggie Ferris is joining us right now. You one of your albums here is a relaxation album. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's not including my comedy albums. That's just a thing I did aside when I was bored during COVID. So you know how you listen to those silly like guided meditations and stuff? I just wanted to write one that was just totally weird. And so I did. And it's just strange and silly and fun and probably not really that relaxing, but it's in that relaxing voice and take the deep breaths and slow down your brain. And, you know, I just say weird stuff, you know, like put your croissant down. I don't even remember what is all on it, but it's just silliness and fun and something I had to do during the pandemic. Cause it's like, you got all this creative stuff and you have nowhere to go. We used to do these Zoom comedy shows and they were so awful cause you have no feedback.
Yeah.
You either have the whole mic, everybody's mics are on and they're like, honey, get me a sandwich. And you can hear everything. Or nobody's mics are on. You have no idea how they're responding and if they're enjoying it or anything. You know, people just sit there and stare. And so that was so hard during the pandemic to not do live shows. But I had to keep the creative juices flowing. So that's what I did. I wrote a relaxation album.
Extreme Relaxation is the name of that album. You just touched on there because I'm wearing a Dury shirt right now, the band Dury out of Burnsville. And I've talked to Austin a few times, and the same exact thing. All of a sudden, you're used to doing shows, and you're not doing anything. And so he starts doing TikTok videos with his sister, ends up being the biggest band he's ever been in. And, you know,
isn't
it's kind of
crazy?
Robert Burrell, the comedian in town, he talked about the same thing, is how hard it was because comedian minds just work differently than everyone else's. And you always are looking at writing new comedy and stuff like this, and you want that outlet. And a FaceTime is not going to cut it.
No, it was just so hard and such a different time. And I can't not be creative and think of things and have ideas and try fun stuff. So for me, that's how it came out during the pandemic is the Extreme Relaxation album.
All right. So first of all, go to the iTunes or on Apple, get the podcast, Big Labia Energy with Maggie and Julie Bain. That's there. Once again, one of the top 100 comedy podcasts on Apple right now. So they're hitting. That's huge. The comedy albums, which, by the way, God bless you. And every comedian out there put out comedy albums because they are a godsend and a bit of a throwback for me. Because, like I said, nothing funnier than Monty Python or Bob Newhart when they used to do theirs. Oh, Steve Martin's old ones are fantastic. Oh,
yes.
Loved them. Love them. So keep
Richard
doing those.
Pryor, I remember listening to
those. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Those were ones I didn't listen to with my mom and dad around that.
No. That's in your bedroom with the door closed.
Indeed. Maggie Ferris is at Laugh Camp Comedy Club. Once again, this is on Robert Street North in St. Paul. It's tomorrow night, 8 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., with Julie Bain and Max Chapman as well going to join you on those. I've got the Eventbrite link. I'll put that out on all the social media pages. Maggie,
awesome.
Anytime you want to, by all means, please come on back.
Love it. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. Maggie Ferris, once again, the Laugh Camp Comedy Club tomorrow and Friday, or tomorrow and Saturday. Tomorrow is Friday, and then Saturday. Go catch the shows. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Thursday. I want to take a ride on your disco stick. Let's have some fun. This beat is sick. I want to take